Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Serving Florida's Gulf Coast, you're watching Channel 33, Sunshine State Cable Access.
Hello and welcome to Goth Talk. I'm Cersei Nightshade, and tonight we will be paying our respects to a dear kindred who has finally gone thither to his mortal reward. Welcome to the funeral of Azrael Abyss.
I'm the Prince of Sorrow! Woo!
Shut up, you're supposed to be dead.
I'm dead indeed, tra-la-la!
Okay, Azrael is not really dead, but this is his funeral. A funeral for the living. So, let the dark ceremony begin, where the living are as the dead.
Rawr.
Our first eulogy will be delivered by a man who is no stranger to the other side.
I hope it's Baron Nocturna.
His grim remembrance. Yeah, it is Baron Nocturna. Come to us, Baron, O Lord of the Inferno.
Send him in, send him in, send him in.
Welcome, Baron.
Sorry, I just got off work. I had to put my makeup on in the car.
Just get on with the funeral.
Good eve to you, Dark Sister, and our departed Azrael. While I envy dear Azrael's flight from this dreary world, I myself must face a cruel fact. Without Azrael around, I am now the gayest guy at school, and I'm gonna get my ass kicked a lot. If the vicious wedgies inflicted upon Azrael were any indication as
That's
to-
That's enough, Baron.
Shut up, Todd.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to End of Line, Episode 3, Revenge of the... Wait, no. Well, we're not going to do any of those references. No, not this week.
For October 2011. Let's just say that.
That'll work. The show that lets me say unequivocally that all that time rolling 20-sided dice was not completely wasted. There you go, Mom. Proved it to you. Hi, everyone. I'm Ranger 1138, and with me, as always, my co-patriot, my co-host, my co-pilot, the Rockstar. Good evening, Rockstar.
Hello, everyone.
And along with us is the third chair. Hey, how you doing there, Mr. Byron Lee?
I'm in a chair. I love the chair. I gotta have a chair. I love chair. I want chair.
Yeah. The chair sphere.
Chair.
Welcome to
Board
the chair core.
Gotta go home. Board of chair.
Don't like chair. Chair's too big.
Now I'm going to be thinking angry chair from Alice in Chains for at least the next 20 minutes.
Well, welcome to the show, Byron. You are known from such places as the Talk Zone, and others might be familiar with you for doing social media and various other things for Horizons for the Blind. And I bet you have all sorts of other geek cred to share with us. What landed you here?
I do. Well, a couple of things. The Talk Zone is obviously where I talk about sci-fi and stuff like that. It's one of my internet radio shows. And then the Fun Zone is where I play a bunch of comedy and demented music, stuff like Dr. Demento used to play. And I talk a lot about sci-fi and computers and just strange things on my own Twitter feed. And of course, I'm the resident geek over at Horizons for the Blind, so they've always got me up to my elbows in cords. So that's how I got in this chair.
Awesome. You'll be lucky if we let you out again.
I'm working on these straps.
We use only the finest. No wait. that could be again one of those things that might lead us off the deadly track, off the clean podcast tag. So, hey. Speaking of feedback, we've gotten lots of feedback from those of you out there. We've gotten your iReports from iBlink Radio. We've gotten emails, and lo and behold, we even got a couple of voicemails from other places as well. Let me say, you guys have been really cool with the feedback. You've been telling us what you want to hear, what you want us to cover. There's some things we won't eat, but we appreciate the option anyway. But you can always let us know by jumping over to the blog at www.eolshow.com, following us on Twitter at EOLshow, that's @EOLshow, or leaving us a phone message through the Blab line, which we'll also have on the website, and of course through iReport. And we just got our iReport recently that somebody threw down their own geek cred, didn't they, Rockstar?
They did. Yeah, this was very cool. This came from Eric Troop, and we'll go ahead and play the voicemail. And he is just one of many who wishes to be in this third chair. So if you want to do that too, you can leave feedback just like this.
Hey guys, this is Blind Geek, otherwise known as Eric Troop. And I am calling because I was just listening to the End of Line episode 2. I'll confess I have not yet heard episode 1, but I loved episode 2. And it sounds like I'm going to love the podcast in general. It's just fun, and I would love to sit in the third chair. Some of my geek cred, let's see. Well, I'm one of the Knights of the Round. I was going to say co-host, but we're not really Josh DeLioncourt is the host. We are his, his knights. I was trying to think of some other more spiffy word, but nothing's coming to mind. But we're the Knights of the Round Table for the Maccessibility podcast, and I also produce my own podcast called Monkeys Took My Jetpack. That is M as in monkeys, T as in took, and M as in my, jetpack.com, so mtmjetpack.com, and it's a tabletop role-playing podcast where we actually record our games as our group meets over Skype, and I add music and sound effects and stuff to make it more interesting than just listening to a bunch of people sitting around and talking and telling a story in game form. So, and I love sci-fi and fantasy books, movies, all that kind of thing. So it would just be a blast to kind of hang out with y'all and do the End of Line podcast for a time. So if that's a possibility, let me know. I would love to do it. Anyway, great work, great shows all around, and talk to you guys later. Keep it up. Thanks.
So there you go. You have the option. You have the challenge. You may be a last starfighter and join us in the third chair if chosen. Robert Preston will not be there. Unfortunately, Robert has passed. But we'll find somebody,
Simulacrum.
There we go. One of those people to come by and pick you up in a really neat car, and then you'll come join us here on the Star Command. It's October, and in Abomination, we didn't have any difficulty finding shows and movies that were being remade.
No, we found lots of scary stuff.
And I can't believe this one. Beetlejuice? Honestly, somebody wants to remake Beetlejuice?
Do you know where a guy like myself can find a little action?
Ooh, not bad, actually. I like that one. Sandworms and all. And who do you get to play, you know, the Gina Davis role or the Alec Baldwin role? Michael's 60. I can't. Batman is 60 years old. Not Adam West, but Michael Keaton is like 60 years old. So who do you get to? You can't get him back unless he's going to be like a cameo, like a civil servant or something like that.
And they're also going to do a Bewitched reboot again. Because this worked so well the first time.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I did not hate the movie. I kind of thought of it as a separate entity, I guess, and maybe that's what made me okay with it, but that by no means makes it okay to do it once more.
And so soon after that one, too. I mean, that...
Yeah, that was only, what, 97? 96, 97,
yeah,
something like that?
It seems like there should be some dirt or time passed before you attempt to do... Or at least wait for Elizabeth Montgomery to be away from this earth before you try that again. You know, it just seems wrong. It just does. I don't know. It just, but not all the news is bad. There's actually Fox developing a Spectre TV series. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Spectre from DC Comics. But
I'm
I kind of like this one. The Spectre is, actually, there's a great animated short on there was a DC animated shorts collection that just came out last year. And one of them is The Spectre, and it's voiced by Gary Cole. There we go. And Gary Cole does this wonderful Sam Spade kind of voice to it, and it brings a lot to it. He's also a lot in graphic audio. The Spectre plays a neat role, and it's a gentleman who has been killed before his time, and he inflicts vengeance upon those... with the Netherworld, almost like the power of the Grim Reaper. So this would be great for a week-to-week kind of thing because it doesn't look like it'd be something that you'd have to follow continuously. It would feel very much like an 80s show where you know, instead of one man and a Trans Am, it's one man, a sickle, and the ability to off you. So it should be a very interesting show, and I think that would be neat if it could come across. But we got a link here in the show notes to hear more about it.
You know what's really interesting about Spectre is that it's scribed by the same guy that wrote John Doe. I don't know if you remember this, but Fox had this show, short-run show called John Doe, where this guy wakes up. It doesn't know who he is, but he knows just about everything. And they canceled the show before we ever really found out who John Doe was. And I'm hoping that Fox doesn't cancel this before we get to the cool parts, like they do with every other cool sci-fi show they ever produced.
John Doe was Dominic Purcell, who went on to be in Prison Break for 4 years. Prison Break, all on Netflix. Great show if you ever get a chance to watch that. And Fox is known for putting shows on the Friday night Oh Death slot. Of course, Firefly. We could be here all night. True Calling was another one.
Do you remember Strange Luck? That one was in the Friday night slot. It lasted like a season, if that.
Lone Gunman.
Sliders.
Mantis.
Sliders, yeah.
Well, Sliders at least got a second lease on life on sci-fi, but also got put on the Friday night Death slot if you think about it. So there's a lot that occupies it. And right now, what is the show that occupies it? Fringe. And Fringe is actually doing well. Their ratings are up this season, which I'm super happy about.
I still have never seen Fringe, so I have a lot of catching up to do. Yeah.
Oh, Fringe is awesome. I love Fringe.
Have they brought it to Netflix yet?
No. We've got Breaking Bad and all these other crazy shows. And actually, Sons of Anarchy, but that's more of an FX show. But Fox is pretty good about dropping things. So once when Fringe comes to Netflix, we'll have to spotlight it in the Nexus.
You each have a personal vendetta against the Justice League. Their deaths would serve my goals.
There's another little bit of news here. Speaking of DC characters, it looks like they're going to reunite all the guys, or at least as many as they can, from the old DC animated shows of the 90s and put them in what's called Justice League Doom. Yeah, that means the League of Doom, and it's going to be awesome to have all these guys back. You know, they kind of sort of started that storyline at the end of Justice League Unlimited, where they actually kind of sort of do the Legion of Doom. There we go. That's the term I wanted. The Legion of Doom. And even put Lex Luthor in the 70s Super Friends attire and Gorilla Grodd and all of that. That's a really good, those are all on Netflix. In fact, you can find the Justice League and the Justice League Unlimited stuff, so you can get up there. Our man Kevin Conroy is back as Batman, which is most important. And so are most of the returning voices from those. So we got a link here to talk about who's coming there. It doesn't really matter to me what the story is at this point because I just love those guys. They did such great voices of Martian Manhunter and the rest of them. And when I read the comics now, I still hear their voices voicing the characters.
By the way, from Emerald Knights, the Green Lantern cartoon that was released just a while ago, right before the movie, actor Nathan Fillion, he was amazing as Green Lantern, and he'll be back in this. And also, I highly recommend the graphic audio Green Lantern stuff, especially the first one, Hero's Quest. I mean, that was really good. I didn't sleep the whole night while listening to that.
I blew through those in like one day, all of it. And there were some new graphic audios as well for that they released right before the movie to go along with it. And there's a two-parter, Sleepers 1 and 2, and those are both very, very good. So there's a lot of great audio out there for Green Lantern, which I hear is better than the movie, which is now out on video. I don't know, Ryan Reynolds, that was more, he was supposed to be Kyle. I can't see him as Hal Jordan. That just does not make sense to me. Kyle Rayner? Yes. Hal Jordan? No.
Did you guys know there's actually a blind Green Lantern called Bell F. Sharp?
No.
He's an alien from another planet. And, you know, the thing with Green Lantern is that the Green Lanterns are all species of intelligent life throughout the universe, guarding all of the sectors. And in one particular sector where there's no stars, and I guess there's, if you remember the Star Trek Voyager episode called The Void, where it was just totally pitch black.
Yes.
And they were evolved from having no light. And so instead of having his ring create objects that he would imagine, he would emanate certain sounds that would do things to his enemies. And apparently there was an audio version of one of the Bell F. Sharp stories, but I've yet to find it.
Wow, that's interesting. If anybody knows where we can find this, definitely drop us a line.
There's even a Green Lantern that's a giant planet. So anything's possible in the Lantern Corps. And in fact, I think Graphic Audio is talking about doing In Darkest Night in the Black Lantern sometime either this year or next year, which would, that would be awesome.
That would be cool.
Well, before we leave the abomination segment, we have one more thing. And this is definitely an abomination. It should not be, it should not exist, but it's really hilarious. Somebody has reimagined the Harry Potter movies as basically a lighthearted teen movie. It's like the feel-good movie of the summer or something. And they posted a trailer with various quotes edited together from the various movies, and you have the really upbeat dance music in the background, and it's just a completely different take on that whole universe. You really got to watch it.
If not, you can hear it right now.
I've got a really good feeling about Hogwarts. I feel it's the place to be tonight. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Enjoying your classes, Harry? What about your activities outside the classroom? I can't help wondering if...
Oh, no, no. She's brilliant, and we're friends. But no.
What you see before you is a curious little potion.
Hello, darling.
The most powerful love potion in the world.
I'm in love with her. All right, fine, you're in love with her. Have you ever actually met her?
No. Can you introduce me?
Go on, Harry. We've got a game to win.
Excellent.
Excuse me, I have to go and vomit. I happen to be his girlfriend. I happen to be his friend.
These girls, they're gonna kill me, Harry.
See that girl over there? She's trying to smuggle you a love potion.
Really?
Hey, she's only interested in you because she thinks you're the chosen one.
But I am the chosen one. Okay, sorry, kidding.
Oh, to be young and to feel love's keen sting.
Do you feel like your sleep patterns are different from the rest of the world? Do you sometimes feel the unwanted urge or need to fall asleep during the day, even when you need to be awake? Do you also feel just too wide awake to fall or stay asleep during the night? If you are blind, this could be a real sleep problem related to a lack of light needed to keep your body in sync. Learn more about an ongoing clinical research study that is evaluating a new investigational treatment for this type of sleep problem. When calling, you can also complete a short sleep survey. When calling, you must be between 18 and 75 years of age and totally blind. Volunteers will be compensated for their participation in the clinical study and will receive study-related medication, medical evaluations, and transportation at no cost. If you or someone you know might be affected, call toll-free 1-888-389-7033 or email info@non24registry.com. That's info@non24registry.com.
Gee, I got a candy bar.
Boy, I got three cookies.
Hey, I got a package of gum.
I got a rock.
Trick or treat.
I got a popcorn ball.
I got a fudge ball.
I got a pack of gum.
I got a rock.
And we're back, and it's time for In the Nexus for October. And of course, if it's October, we have to talk about Halloween. Halloween is one of my favorite holidays just because there's something really fun about being able to dress in a costume and walk around demanding candy from people, and it's socially acceptable. I mean, I think that's very cool.
Like birthday cake, where you can eat something that people have spit on, right? Socially
that's
acceptable.
Right. It's okay. Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. I want a piece of that, please.
Of course. I was always pretty traditional about my costumes for whatever reason. I mean, I've been a cat and a witch and all this other stuff. I guess my favorite costume, though, was I was a 20s flapper once, and that was fun. But my favorite costume was as a gypsy. And I liked it because I was dressed up and I had about 17 pounds of jewelry that would all jingle and make this interesting noise when I walked. And so it was just this costume that constantly reminded me that it was there. And it was a lot of fun. Do you guys have any interesting costumes that you want to talk about?
my parents when I was very young, like when I was 7, I loved John Williams scores, and so I was into Jaws at the time. And my mom saw this actual Jaws mask, so it was the shark's mouth pointed up with two eye holes, like behind his teeth. And they got the wild idea to get like gray material and cardboard and make a dorsal fin for my back and then fins on my feet. And it was a great idea, but you know, after a little bit of time and you're a kid, it was a real binding costume. So it was a neat idea, but you know, you couldn't get through doorways because you couldn't go sideways because the dorsal fin would hit.
Yeah.
You couldn't go like long ways because your tail fins would hit. And so it was a neat costume and thought, but not always really good to go get the candy. So there was that. And then I did the $6 Million Man also when I was a kid because I had an astronaut type helmet and I had the jumpsuit. And okay, this is really embarrassing at this point. So yeah, you can see where I did a lot of science fiction type characters. Byron?
Well, actually, when I was very young, my mom made me a couple of costumes that were, you know, against all of the other people who say their parents made them costumes and they were incredibly embarrassing. My mom actually did some really good ones. My first one was Kermit the Frog, and the weird thing was she used all kinds of cardboard and stuff to sort of make the headpiece. So on the inside, I could see Pampers diaper boxes facing me, but on the outside, there was all this green felt and, you know, everything that Kermit had. So that was a cool one. And then one year, I was Sylvester the Cat. My sister was Tweety, which is very symbolic of our relationship, of me tormenting her and her always getting away and winning.
You go around telling her that you see a giant mouth?
Yeah,
a giant
exactly.
Mouth. Over there, a giant mouth.
Fucker and fucker thrap. Okay, now my microphone's all wet.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and then one year when I was old enough to pick my old costumes, I dressed up as Weird Al, and everyone thought I was Howard Stern.
Oh!
With the long, curly wig and the glasses.
Do they look alike?
Well, yeah, Howard Stern and Weird Al both have long-ish, curly hair, and Al used to wear glasses at one point, and I didn't have a mustache. But the Hawaiian shirt should have been a dead giveaway, so there's that.
I guess not to those who only saw Howard from the head up.
Wow,
yeah,
the things you learn.
And then, of course, you know, one of my other favorite Halloween costumes, which sort of goes back to the beginning of the show where we kind of threw back to an SNL skit, I was a cone head for Halloween one year.
Oh,
and my mom
awesome.
Had a paper mache cone head thing on my head, and then she had us, do you remember in the movie where they would wolf down the submarine sandwiches? Like
yeah,
really fast,
yeah.
They'd go... Well, I had like a cardboard folding submarine sandwich that looked really long, and then I could fold it up so it looked like it was gone. That was really creative. I gotta give it to my mom for making some awesome costumes.
Beldar and Primat.
You're square good. I have re-radiated leftover starch disk.
Pizza. I will enjoy it.
Oh, I own that movie on Laserdisc. Again, it came out on my birthday. I have this thing about seeing movies on my birthday and then turning out to be absolute colossal failures at the box office. The Shadow, Judge Dredd, Coneheads, they all have inflicted on my June 30th curse. So
But
it's
what's
not a
funny
good time.
Is that, like, all of those movies, I think Judge Dredd especially, they kind of, well, all of them really, they became cult classics, even though they were
mm-hmm.
not box office hits.
They didn't make any money. They made me very happy, but, you know, I couldn't
yes.
convince other people to go out and see them. So when I think of Halloween, I think of, you know, the Great Pumpkin. The Great Pumpkin is a big part because growing up as a kid and you only have like maybe 4 or 5 channels you could pick up on antenna, you get really good at watching the same thing every year. And CBS every year would have on Peanuts. And unfortunately, that then led me into my addiction of anything Dolly Madison, because as a young child, I was impressionable. And I'd hear commercials like this.
The Zinger Zapper is someone in this room. To find the culprit, I'll put zingers on this plate. Devil's food with luscious chocolate icing, gold cake with dreamy vanilla, raspberry with coconut, and all with cream thinners. I'm going to turn the light out and catch him red-handed. Okay, now we know who the Zinger Zapper is.
The butler?
You blockhead.
When you have zingers around, there's no escaping
The Zinger Zapper.
So then I came out and wanted, you know, Zingers and Dolly Madison chocolate donuts. And so I actually wanted that more than I wanted candy. But did you guys have a favorite treat that you would get when you would go trick-or-treating, your favorite candy?
Money.
Yeah, money. I never got money going trick-or-treating. I don't know what kind of tricks or treats you were doing, but...
Small bills. Could you just give me some non-denominationals right here? Non-sequential, please?
No, I never got money. I always liked Smarties. I mean, they're pretty easy to find, but I was always happy when they would give me Smarties or Starburst. I always hated like Circus Peanuts or Tootsie Rolls. Everybody was really fond of Tootsie Rolls because it's like a really cheap candy that you can
buy. It was always,
you know,
on sale.
800 of them for 50 cents or whatever. And I
Tootsie Pops,
I
with
hated
the odd flavors.
Them. Yeah, I just, you know, it's this thing that's supposed to be chewy, but they've been sitting around for a few years.
Sweet Tarts that are exactly the same way.
Oh, Sweet Tarts are awesome. I love Sweet Tarts.
Unless they're old as the hills, then they're like little round hockey pucks.
I've never been a big fan of sweets. So, you know, I would eat as much as my stomach could handle. But if I got, you know, like beef jerky or a can of pop or something like that, I always save that for myself. And kind of gave my family the rest of the loot. Never was much of a sweets person.
Ah, you could bribe family members. That's important.
Exactly. It's currency.
Yes.
Exactly.
You got it.
I want candy, bubblegum and taffy. Skip to the sweet shop with my sweetheart Sandy. Got my penny saved, so I'm a sugar daddy. I'm a Hugh Cronin, she my Jessica Candy. I want candy.
Crypt doors creak and the tombstones quake.
Boots and knocks are swing and wake.
Happy haunts materialize
and begin to vocalize.
Grin bringing ghosts come out to socialize.
Well, there are costumes galore out there. I went to, in preparation for the show.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
We do a lot of research for the show, don't we?
Yeah.
For that reason.
You have to stretch, you know? You have to go out there, meet the people. And I went into the Spirit of Halloween store in College Station, which was this lovely and large store that immediately made me think of foam rubber. When I was smelling it, they had a lot of crazy things there. I mean, Halloween is a business like no other. They had lights that would light up in time with music. They had smoke machines and fog machines and lighting gear and this weird prop that you could lay out, which was like a torso being eaten by a possum. And when the possum would eat him, it would go, and the guy would go, oh,
it's kind of bizarre.
Very disconcerting, actually. But they also had tons of costumes. And I'm telling you, Halloween is the time for furries and fetishists because there was all sorts of weird things out there. I did like some of the costumes that I saw. The traditional ones, of course, Batman and all the superheroes that you could do. But there were some odd ones as well because apparently costumes aren't just for Halloween. You can order them year-round. I have a link here in the show notes to Leg Avenue, where you can get costumes for Halloween, but you can also do ones for German beer garden festivals, because after all...
You could get Lederhosen there?
Actually, no, there totally is a Lil Miss Lederhosen costume.
Awesome.
Links in the show notes.
And there's the Flirty Fraulein and all this other German beer girl stuff. I didn't realize there were costumes like that for German beer girls, but there are.
There are just absolute craziness.
I gotta say, there's just something that stirs within me when I see a girl with an accordion.
You live up in the Midwest, right?
Oh, that's right. You are an accordion aficionado yourself.
Well, I'm originally from Phoenix, but you know, I fell in love with polkas because of Weird Al. And second Weird Al reference in the show. So I went out and bought an accordion. Of course, I can't play it, but I could say I've got one.
That's right. There's got to be some kind of geek cred with that. Yes.
He can't read my polka face. She's got to love nobody.
And we come right out of talking about food into a segment about food. Yeah, food. Food, glorious food.
We like food.
And homework. Glorious homework. We asked you last month to take a shot at the triple decker Oreo. For those who don't remember or haven't listened to episode 2, you can hear us talk about the three cookie, or as I called it at the time, the Big Mac of Oreo cookies. So you had three cookies and cream in the middle, a vanilla on the top and chocolate on the bottom. Depending how you're holding it, it would be reversed. We did actually convince someone out there to jump this hurdle for us.
Yes, we did. Several of you may have tried them, but one person actually sent us an iReport of the event itself. Thank you, Liz Botner. And here we go, sharing Liz's experience with the triple, double, decker, whatever you call it, Oreo.
Hello, this is Liz Botner. I am submitting my iReport, and this is in reference to the end of line show. This specifically references the, I believe they were the, the triple, double stuffed Oreo something or other things. Anyway, I have a bag of them right here in front of me, and I wanted to open them up and eat them on the side report. The bag of Oreos is smaller than the usual bag of Oreos, and I guess that's because maybe there's more in the actual cookie, each cookie, than there otherwise would be in regular Oreos or double stuffed Oreos. So let's see what happens. Attempting to open this. That's the other thing. These packages, the new Oreo packages, well, not new, they've been out for probably a few years now. But these packages are definitely weird with the self-adhesive thing on them. I don't understand. However, I'm not sure how well that works. It works either. But we have it open, and I am taking an Oreo out of the package, attempting to. Geez, they're definitely. Well, they obviously are thicker. Okay, here goes. Okay. As my mouth is chock full of cookies. I didn't think I would like these because, I'm sorry, pardon me, I did not think I would like these because it was the double stuffed Oreo and the cookie in the middle. However, I'm a fan. I'm not a huge fan of double stuffed Oreos, but I like these. And it may be because of the cookie in the middle that takes some of the cream taste away. I don't know. My favorite part overall of an Oreo is the cookie, believe it or not. So, in my opinion, these are a definite go must have. I will have no problem finishing the rest of this bag, not today or in one sitting, but obviously in multiple sittings. However, that is my opinion of the double, triple, or is it triple, double? I don't even know, the Oreos. So I hope this helps somebody, and great work on the End of Line Show podcast, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Liz, for trying that for us. As always, we appreciate it when you guys leave us an iReport or send us an email to tell us what you think about the crazy food that we think of here. We had a long conversation about what the homework assignment should be for this month.
And we ended up finding a bunch of scary stuff.
It started with some desperation. In fact, actually, 7 hours before showtime, we didn't have anything in the slot. And then all of a sudden, we looked up what the Dairy Queen Blizzard of the Month is, because we feature that each month here, and it happened to be pumpkin pie. And I was like, pumpkin pie blizzard, and then the rock star comes back with
the Sonic Pumpkin Shake, which actually has pie crust in it. And I don't know what to think about this, but it is there at Sonic for a limited time. So if you don't have a Dairy Queen, you can try the pumpkin shake at Sonic.
And then I found that Whataburger had back the fried pumpkin pie. So you had that. So they're like, then there's pumpkin lattes over at Starbucks. So do us a favor.
Yeah, Tim Hortons has them too.
Let us know what kind of weird pumpkin flavored thing you find. That's your homework assignment, is to go out there and find something strange in pumpkin and then come back and tell us about it. And remember, you can do that at the iReport through iBlink Radio or leave us a comment on the blog at www.eolshow.com.
You got to go get your pumpkin on.
That's right.
By the way, just throwing something in real quick. Steak and Shake also has these pie shakes. And I had the key lime pie shake with the crust in it. Oh, that was awesome.
But what happens, do you drink this with a straw? What happens?
Yeah.
Do you have all this stuff, kind of stuck in the straw?
Yeah, it's kind of crunched up really fine so that it you know, it gets into your, gets through the straw and everything. But, you know, it's just big enough that you go, oh, yeah, there's crust in here. You can sort of feel the texture. And it's really awesome, actually.
And while you're at Sonic, we also wanted to feature that there's a bunch of new hot dogs over that way. So there's the bacon blue cheese dog, as well as Chicago dog, and there's actually a German dog, which has got sauerkraut and all on it. But what really this comes into being is that on Twitter, and you can follow us at twitter.com/EOL show.
And we'll also have our own Twitter feeds in the show notes so that you can follow each of us individually as well.
I'm going to get so many followers from this.
A debate rose up about something that's very important. In fact, you know, there's Republican and Democrat, there's NFC, AFC, there's, you know, classic Trek versus new Trek fan. But this is more important. We think this supersedes all of that because the rock star and I have found something out about each other that we didn't realize. And to be just quite blunt and frank and honest, it really has just driven a wedge between our friendship.
We've had to struggle. I mean, it's been a very difficult time for us to get through this deal of...
Yeah, we need your help, fellow listeners. We really, truly need your help to help us come to terms with this in the age-old battle of ranch versus blue cheese. And let me just break it down for you. I'm going to take the pro here first. I believe ranch is the most bland, disgusting, awful thing on the planet. It should be used between bricks to hold them together. Otherwise, it has no purpose on the planet for me. I just don't like it. Everything has to taste like that. It's all bland. It's disgusting. And that's just the way I feel about it. Now, I'll turn the floor over to the rock star.
And the way he feels about it is the incorrect way, I must say. I think ranch belongs in pretty much everything. Not my coffee, but beyond that, I think ranch makes an excellent dipping sauce. Now, with that said, I also love blue cheese, but ranch definitely has its place. Things like honey mustard do not. But anyone who doesn't like ranch, I'm having a hard time accepting this. I feel like there's a character flaw there somewhere. Byron, where do you fall on this?
You know, I am very hurt by your comments about honey mustard, but aside from
one
that,
for the honey mustard contingent.
Yeah. Ding! Honey mustard on chicken nuggets. Awesome. But I love ranch and I love blue cheese. However, ranch is good for, you know, like also for chicken nuggets and for salads and for all sorts of other dipping type things. Blue cheese is awesome for salads, for burgers. Gotta love a burger with blue cheese on it. Gotta love a steak with blue cheese on it. So I'm a fan of all three, but I definitely gotta go on the rock star side and say that ranch isn't as bad as you say it is. You're giving it a bad rap, man.
Ugh,
ranch has a right to exist.
Awful. No, admit it does this. Not. No, I refuse. It tastes bland to me. One of the basic four food groups is not ranch, as some would have me believe. It just does nothing for me, does not enhance anything, does not make anything better. But if you disagree, let us know. Contact us through iBlink Radio at the iReport there at the top, or let us know in email at resources@serotalk.com. Yes, I got it right. resources@serotalk.com. Third episode, and I finally seem to be getting it down.
Good boy.
You know where you work now. I am proud.
It's true. Now if I could just find my way to work. That's the other part. It's
in the daytime, I'm Mr. Natural. Just as healthy as I can be. But at night, I'm a junk food junkie. Good Lord, have pity on me.
I could ask you guys something. Would you eat a 30,000 calorie sandwich?
How big is it?
Even if it had ranch or blue cheese on it?
Yeah, okay. Have I not eaten in a couple of days?
How close would I be to a hospital at the time?
Yeah. Well, is there an EKG involved? Is there?
Well, this 30,000 calorie sandwich, which I found on a website that seems to be defunct now, called thisiswhyyourfat.com. If you go there, I don't think it's going to work anymore. But there used to be a blog that had all of these really awesome, strange types of foods, like the weird casseroles you guys were finding on Fred's head and all that weird stuff, you know, fried Twinkies and all that. They had a 30,000 calorie sandwich made of minced beef, bacon, corn dogs, ham, pastrami, roast beef, bratwurst, braunschweiger, turkey, fried mushrooms with onion rings, and five varieties of cheese served on white bread.
Oh, man, there's two of every animal on that thing.
Yeah, the Noah's Ark of sandwiches. They came to the rye bread two by two.
Oh, man. I'm sure there are people out there. I mean, somebody had to make this up, so presumably somebody had to eat it. But you actually mentioned these scary casseroles that we keep talking about from Fred's Head, and there seems to be no shortage of them. We have another one for this month. And this one is French toast casserole. I don't find this one quite as disturbing as I have casseroles in the past. This seems kind of doable. You get some cubed Italian bread. You melt cream cheese, of all things, in the microwave. And you throw some cinnamon and Splenda or sugar in there and some egg. And we've got the recipe in the show notes, but you know, as with any casserole, you basically throw all this stuff in there and bake it. And after it's done, you can pour some syrup over the top just as you would with regular French toast, and you're good to go.
Yikes. We also have...
Are you afraid of this?
No, but I'm not a syrupy person either. Oh, gosh. Now we're going to get the letters. I can't do maple syrup. I do butter and sugar on
pancakes. You got to get through counseling for the ranch thing first.
Yeah, and the only thing about the only thing about breakfast that I can handle is bacon. I love bacon. Bacon, 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 bacon.
Bacon.
It's bacon.
Bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon.
I can't read.
I don't like breakfast.
I'm kind of with you there. I don't eat breakfast. Sometimes I'll have breakfast for dinner, but yeah, a lot of breakfast things I'm not really into.
I used to have to ride to high school, and it would take a long time because I was going to high school in another county because they didn't have the equipment I needed to be able to do things accessibly. So I used to have a long time between riding into school and out of school, and I just didn't have time for breakfast. So I got to the point where I didn't eat breakfast or I didn't eat breakfast foods because I just ate whatever was left over from dinner the night before. And that's what led me into the whole cold pizza or love of junk food. In fact, we got a couple of links here about junk food, including the five most expensive junk foods that you could be addicted to and junk food addiction.
Yeah, the junk food addiction article is kind of interesting because it talks about how we got into this obesity epidemic and so on, and how junk food really can be an addiction, and wanting to do sort of a public campaign against that in the same way that was done with smoking. And it kind of goes through why this may or may not work. But the article that I really found just hysterical is from cracked.com. And I love cracked.com. This is probably not a site that you want to read at work. It's definitely not safe for work in most instances.
NSFW, yes.
Yes. But the five most expensive junk foods talks about, you know, what are you going to do when you make those trillions of dollars and now you're supposed to be doing all this luxury stuff? You can't be caught having, you know, hot dogs or frozen burritos or whatever. And it turns out there is a solution for you. Like, there was one hot dog that they fried the thing, and it was this really high quality hot dog, and they fried it in truffle oil, and then they're topping the thing with caviar and all this other stuff. When is a hot dog just not a hot dog anymore?
It depends. Have you been to a state fair?
And you know, nothing detracts from the fact that hot dogs are mostly intestine. Sorry. I don't care how many fish eggs you put on there. It's still intestine.
Yes.
Yeah, moving away from that, you know, we have some links here for some awesome Transformer Type Hostess cakes, a little bit of a kind of Optimus Prime and a sound wave, and check out the show notes here for the link from Kotaku on these wonderful Hostess-type things. I mentioned Zingers earlier, so got to be fair. Got to mention Hostess to go along with Dolly Madison because they sponsored other holiday things.
You know, I sound really picky because I keep talking about the things I don't like to eat, but any sort of dessert sort of confection with coconut on it, I don't like the shredded paper texture. I'm sorry, but coconut, bleh.
Yay!
I am getting ganged
up
here.
I'm so with you.
Oh, man, you people are strange.
In heaven there is no beer. That's why we drink it here. And when we're gone from here, well, our friends will be drinking all the beer. Everybody sing!
October is also Oktoberfest. And Oktoberfest means, well, we mentioned Lederhosen, but getting away from that, we also think about beers. And we talk about crazy foods, things on pretzel bread. It's, speaking of pretzel bread, I, for the good of the show, threw down my ability to take on a burger, and I actually tried the Oktoberfest burger from Red Robin, which so happens to be a burger with Black Forest ham and all sorts of veggies and sautéed veggies on a pretzel bun with, look out, honey mustard. And
ooh,
it was
yes. Ding.
Delicious. It was, this burger was huge and it was wonderful and the pretzel bun was all warm and it was just, it was a beautiful sight to behold. And of course the bottomless fries over at Red Robin are really good too. So if you get a chance this month, it's a seasonal item, check out the Oktoberfest burger.
Sounds like a big sacrifice on your part to go off and do that for us.
I know.
It does. I'm amazed the things he does for the show.
He's just such a, you know, an outgoing guy, you know.
That's right.
If I keep eating more of these, there will be a lot more of me to be outgoing. That's for sure.
You can wash down this giant Oktoberfest burger with some sort of beer if you're into that sort of thing. And there are a couple of apps to actually suggest beers for you, because beer is sort of a social thing, especially if you're a bit of a beer snob. I mean, there are the people that the Pabst Blue Ribbon people, and then there are some of us who are beer snobs, and we all get into the thing, you know, and oh, is this a honey wheat or whatever? But there are a couple of apps. One of them is called Untappd, and it is for iOS and Android. There seem to be some accessibility challenges on iOS, but I think it's nothing that you can't. Yes, it was before I drank the beer. So not user error, I think.
I don't know why, but VoiceOver gets harder and harder to use the more I drink.
Apple should fix that.
Yeah, they should. iOS 6, I'll fix that.
Drunk dialing.
That's
oh,
right.
Oh, my, my, my.
Oh, wow.
Siri, call my ex-girlfriend. Yeah.
Oh, you say that, but Siri does understand Siri, I'm drunk.
Siri knows so. Who that is. Oh, yeah, all sorts of accents, including drunk speak.
But you know, you can rate your apps. You can rate your beer with this other app called Brewski Me. And that'll let you track and rate your favorite beers. You know, it gets really crazy when you get down to the microbreweries, like the guy around the corner who brews his own beer. Might not necessarily be a true microbrewery, but they do have a lot here on this app. It's something that you might want to get into if you're looking for something. It's like the Yelp of beers in a way.
Yeah, I was thinking Foursquare, but yeah, Yelp or Foursquare. And there are definitely some accessibility challenges with that one on iOS, but you Android people might have great luck with that. And of course, if you're not depending on VoiceOver or something else, then you're all good to go, assuming that you are sober enough to operate the app.
And speaking of operating, once when you're done with all this beer, you might want to turn one of those kegs into a beer keg sub. We have an article here about those people who have a lot more free time and apparently a lot more money to buy beer on their hands and to make this device.
Wait, like a submarine sandwich or like a submersible beer keg?
Like an Unterwasser vehicle that goes under the water. Das Boot of Beer.
Why am I suddenly thinking of the song Autobahn?
Afterwards, I'll play lots of Kraftwerk for you.
There's a monster under my bed. There's a monster in my bathtub.
Mine is on my dresser.
There's a monster in the kitchen.
For a child with asthma, it can seem like monsters are everywhere.
There's a monster in my pillow.
There's one on the rug.
The fact is, Their next asthma attack could be triggered by something as innocent as a teddy bear or a dripping faucet, even a bath toy.
I don't like monsters.
Fortunately, there are simple ways you can help prevent their next attack, from putting stuffed animals in the freezer to kill dust mites, to drying bath toys and turning on the bathroom fan to prevent mold. They're easy to do, and they're part of a complete plan that could help you put an end to your child's asthma attacks. Learn more at noattacks.org or call 866-NO-ATTACKS.
Make the monsters go away.
Because their next breath is in your hands. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
This is End of Line with Ranger 1138 and the Rockstar.
I'd love to, honey, but Daddy has to go to a beer drinking contest today.
So with what you've been consuming, I have been very busy not just eating the Red Robin burger, but I have also been reading a lot of stuff about horror movies and what's available to be watched. And I came across this article. Malcolm McDowell is in the new Halloween movie series, and he's taking over for Donald Pleasance's role of the doctor that took care of Michael Myers. And this article we have here in the show notes from Ain't It Cool is an interview with Malcolm, and he goes over a lot of his classic films, why he was in them, why he did them. Malcolm's been in tons. Blue Thunder, Clockwork Orange, Easy A, Tank Girl. Oh man, there's a lot of crazy movies in this guy's portfolio, and I love watching a very good Malcolm McDowell movie, and I have several as my favorite because he just brings a lot to a role. And read this interview, it's really good. And I talked about on our Twitter feed this sick obsession I have. When I was growing up in the 70s, again, with very few television stations, Channel 11 had Saturday afternoon science fiction spectacular, this huge graphic for it and everything. And that's where I saw things like Zardos and Gamera. And so I have this huge love for the flying turtle. And Netflix has helped me regain my compassion and love of the flying turtle by MST3K and the five Gamera movies that they have up there that they had done, which was a hysterical. I've gone through half of them so far, and it's great to watch them with the bots because some of these movies I know well enough that I can sort of not follow them. But it's nice to have other people there in virtuality to watch them with me and make fun of them the same way I used to. And then Netflix also has the Flying One by himself, and we have a link there. So if you've never seen Gamera, you'll have an opportunity to if you follow the show notes and go check out this Japanese flying turtle that attacks other rubber-suited monsters in the Toho Empire.
So for me this month, I have certain things that I traditionally consume during Halloween. And for music, it is actually Bauhaus, which we heard during our opening scene. And I'm listening to the compilation albums 1979 to 1983. There are two volumes of those. And also Typo Negative's October Rust, because, well, it's October. And I don't know, that's just a very autumnal album to me, is October Rust. I always find myself when the weather starts turning a little bit cooler and so on, I just naturally start listening to that album, and I remember, oh yeah, I did this last year and the year before. So it looks like it has become a tradition. As far as books, I decided I needed a good haunted house book, and there are plenty of classic books, but right now I'm reading Audrey's Door by Sarah Langan, and I'm still consuming it, so I don't know how it ends. But with that said, this is one of my, I won't say my favorite new horror authors, but there are very few new horror authors that kind of pass muster with me, and she is among them. So pretty much anything by Sarah Langan is worth the read, and I'm hoping that Audrey's Door will not disappoint.
What you been consuming, my friend?
Well, lots of things. Did you know that Graphic Audio, which I'm a big fan of, did an audio adaptation of Snakes on a Plane?
I have heard that, but I have not heard that. I knew that they had, but I haven't listened to it.
I kid you not. I just listened to that a couple of days ago, and I had never seen the movie, but the audio drama was pretty good, as is all of Graphic Audio stuff. So there is that. I'm also watching a lot of really disturbing TV. I've always been a sci-fi fan, but for whatever reason, maybe it's my inner psycho killer coming out, you know. But I've been watching Dexter, and I've been watching Breaking Bad, which is quite disturbing. And of course, this author named Tim Dorsey has done several books about this very schizophrenic sort of cracked sort of bizarre serial killer that lives in Florida. He is a expert of all things Florida, tourist attractions. He's filled with all kinds of weird facts. And when he kills people in Florida, he does it in very strange ways that I won't get into. But if you're into like really twisted psycho killer sort of books, I mean, this guy is funny, but he's got something wrong in his head. So there's that. And of course, I'm always interested in fan-made productions. And I'm sure Ranger knows this, but there were a whole bunch of Doctor Who books released by the BBC in only paperback format in the 90s and 80s and 90s when Doctor Who was on hiatus. And
the wilderness
many
years.
Of them.
Yes.
Yeah. So many of them were about the Eighth Doctor, who was portrayed by Paul McGann in the Fox horrible Doctor Who
1996 movie. It's canon. Accept it. It's canon.
Yeah. So, and I love Paul McGann as the Eighth Doctor in Big Finish audio dramas, but we'll probably get into that some other time. But there is a fan-based organization, Heroic Efforts, and they have been reading these audiobooks from the BBC and adding their own special effects and things like that, and so you can catch up on your Eighth Doctor stuff and not have to use text-to-speech to read it. You can actually listen to somebody kind of with a little bit of a nasal problem, but still a human being reading these books with cool sound effects and everything. And then, of course, the other book I've been reading is Kevin Mitnick's newest book, Ghost in the Wires.
Oh,
and,
right.
Yeah, Kevin is a computer hacker who's very famous for getting into very big trouble, and he was made an example of, and now he's a professional white hat hacker. And speech, I guess he's a public speaker now. And he wrote a very good book called Ghost in the Wires, which I have the audio version of.
It's interesting. He's been promoting that book on all the different various talk shows like Jon Stewart and the like. And he talked about the 1 year of solitary confinement where he was practically not even allowed to have pen and paper. Because at one point he had said that, you know, he could do things through the phone lines, and they thought that he could actually, like, you know, use the phone to whistle in and launch missiles from NORAD. They were so afraid of him and what hacking was and what it could be. Almost made war games from the 80s look real to them. And he talks about the confinement and how it took years for him to be able to get into using electronics again. It's a fascinating story. And if you're into any type of hacking, white, black, or gray, it's a certain read. You've just got to take a look at this book.
Yeah, it's really good. And I would also recommend The Art of Intrusion and The Art of... Oh, come on. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Art of Intrusion and Art of Deception. There you go.
Yes.
Those are both really awesome.
There's one other movie that I will be consuming this month, and I do this every Halloween. If you haven't seen this movie, drop what you're doing. Well, don't stop listening to the show. When you're done listening to the show, drop whatever else you had planned and go and watch The Nightmare Before Christmas. This is a delightful Halloween musical that everyone has to see, and I watch it every year for Halloween.
Yes, that movie was a quintessential part of my childhood. Awesome movie.
Boys and girls of every age, wouldn't you like to see something strange? Come with us and you will see this our town of Halloween. This is Halloween, pumpkins scream in the dead of night. This is Halloween, everybody be a singing trick or treat.
And since you're talking about things that you're going to be consuming, I will be consuming an iPhone 4S. Well, I mean, I won't be consuming it as in eating it, but I will be having one
it is
in
Apple.
My pocket
yeah.
soon. Yes.
Will it blend? Will it be able to be eaten? Says I fix it.
That's a good question.
We also have some suggestions here for other things you can consume during the month of October. Certainly Cartoon Network has their Halloween specials up. You can catch a lot of those. The Hub also has some of their Haunted Hub weekend, which has got G.I. Joe and Transformers, and I think a lot of Batman Beyond in it. Also, there's specials with creepy comedies, 30 Days of Horror. We've posted our top 10 favorite streaming horrors on Netflix from Watch Netflix on Twitter. So we've got a lot of different things that you can actually find. The 30 Days of Horror is really interesting because that's Patrick Klepek, who is he's been a video game writer for all sorts of like 1UP and Giant Bomb and G4. And I like his lists. I've been following him for a little bit on Twitter, and Patrick's just awesome. And he's got a lot of interesting films to watch that are not they're off the beaten path. So it's worth taking a look at this
article. I don't think I've seen any of them.
Yeah, well, there's lots of them. And you may have to go either weird places, you know, actual physical video stores that are not holes in the ground to find some of these. And some of them actually are in blocks on YouTube. Somebody's actually cut some of them up. And so they'll be, you know, so-and-so part one, so-and-so part two. So if you do a Google search, you'll find some of these without having to search for nefarious means to get them.
You know, and since you're talking about musicals and Patrick's, there is something else I would recommend that would sort of fall into the Halloween sort of thing. Neil Patrick Harris has done this really awesome thing called Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog.
Yeah, by Joss Whedon.
Yeah, so you got to check that out.
It's a Firefly, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Dollhouse creator. That actually was up for many awards and definitely worth a watch. It too is on Netflix. You can give that a shot. But that's one's worth owning because it has so many behind the scenes stuff and commentating tracks. And it's definitely a keeper. That one I highly recommend.
I have not seen the actual DVD with all the behind the scenes stuff.
It shows up in Walmart piles every once in a while. So just roll through the Walmart cheapy piles because I've seen it there a couple of times.
I love those bargain bins. They're awesome. You can find some real gems in there. In fact, some of those movies you mentioned from the 30 Days of Horror will probably be in there.
That's entirely possible.
Especially in those big collections of sci-fi and horror movies where they have like 50 greatest horror movies all in one package. Yeah. You could probably find some of those in there.
In fact, that pile is going to be huge after November 1st.
What was it? Human Centipede? I think my favorite.
No. Watch the South Park episode. You'll have a much better understanding of what that film is. And don't unless you really, really want to, don't watch the new trailer for Human Centipede 2. No.
You will be scarred for life.
Yeah. That you can't unsee some of that. So we won't go any further because we want to keep the clean tag for this show, but
great. We've just given all the kids something to Google.
Yeah.
That's right.
Don't. South Park. Put in South Park, Human Centipede. That's much better.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
I've tentatively titled this segment Between the Covers, Books. Yeah, books. Although
we're keeping the clean tag.
Yeah, we're definitely struggling for this episode. But the conversation about books, we gave you the homework assignment of reading book 2 of the Dark Tower series, which is called A Drawing of the Three. I don't have much to say on this. I'm about 56% in and I stalled big time again. And it's further than I did the first time I read it, but I'm struggling to get through. And a part of it is the character. Part of it is the way the book moves. Part of it is just get over it already. Just get me down the line. And so I'm having some, because he could say one, well, like me, he could take one idea and take 15 minutes to tell you about it. So I respect that because, well, I can do the same. But it's difficult to read this book for me. I'm going to finish it because I want to finish this series. But, man, I'm just dragging through. Unlike Rockstar over here who read the whole flipping thing. Series.
Yeah, I have read the entire series. And for me, the Drawing of the Three was, as I said in the last episode, the book that made me want to continue with the series. We were introduced to Eddie Dean and Odetta Holmes, who is later, well, at least a couple of other people, and she is ultimately referred to as Susanna Dean throughout the rest of the series, and then we get hints that Jake Chambers is going to come back. Spoiler alert, Chambers comes back in later books and will become an integral part of the group of characters. So for me, book two was the thing that sort of made me go, okay, I want to continue reading. Now, with that said, if you're having a problem getting through book two and you get to the end and you're like, I have to continue reading this series because it's a thing that people have read and I should do that, you know, don't bother. If it's not something that has grabbed you by the end of the second book, it's most likely not going to.
With that said, it's a pretty popular series, and we are going to talk about it kind of off the side here. Well, I'll give you updates on how I'm progressing, but we decided to have a different homework assignment for this month, and that homework assignment is Ernest Cline's Ready Player One. We've heard lots of great things about it from you guys out there. You've read it, Byron, you said?
Yes, I'm actually in the process of reading it because I have this horrible habit of sleeping with the radio on, and usually the radio has a book or a radio show like this one on, so you guys gently take me to Slumberland on
EOL,
occasion.
Cure for insomnia. There we are.
Yeah, exactly.
Public service.
But so I usually get about 30 minutes of a book in before I'm trashed, and then I wake up and I'm like five chapters in. So I've sort of heard this book non-linearly. I can't say linearly.
Not in order.
Not in order. Yes, non-chronological. But the book is really good, and you guys definitely picked a good homework assignment this time.
So you actually read the book in M. Night Shyamalan order. So you read
it. Yeah, pretty
in
much.
Order.
And I'm not done yet. So we got a couple nights left to go. But I'm in the second audible part now. So we don't have much further to go yet.
Now, this is read by a very famous person. who was it who reads this again, sir?
Will Wheaton.
Oh, yes. Is that like Cool Whip?
Does he fire weapons?
Yes, the Cool Whip. Will Wheaton eats Cool Whip. In fact, Will Wheaton is better with Cool Whip.
I'll take your word for that.
Wow.
And if you don't get the reference, we'll have it in the show notes. Don't worry, it's okay. It was on public television. Well, no, not public television, but television you could watch in the public, Fox, and even, and it wasn't even a Friday night.
Ready Player One is actually a very virtual book. It's about this guy who dies and he leaves his fortune for the masses to inherit one person from the masses to inherit only if they can find the Easter egg within this massive multiplayer game that he has created. And it's all about virtual reality and submersiveness and getting yourself totally into the game, and tactile feedback and olfactory feedback and all this other stuff, hooking yourself into the game completely. And it follows this one guy named Wade Watts in trying to find this hidden Easter egg so that he can make a ton of money and be incredibly popular. So it's highly recommended.
And it has tons of 80s references. So if you grew up in the 80s and you're looking for geek pop culture, in books and movies and games, this thing is just littered with them. The guy truly wrote from the heart and believed in what he was talking about, and definite geek reading. And so that's why it's going to be our homework assignment. Well, guys, we've been in your ears a lot, so we're going to give it up for this month. We've talked about all sorts of food. We've talked about all sorts of Halloween-y type things. But you can check out the show notes, because we got an article over there about scientists who built a ghost town. Ooh, spooky. And you can check that out and more stories. So check out the show notes. We have a lot more there, so if you're ever wanting to know where we're getting this stuff, we're not making it up, we promise. We have links over there to what we talk about, especially some of the movie references. If you don't get some of the music or movie references we make on the show, you can hop on over there, and we've got links to YouTube and stuff, so you can play along at home. The idea always was that you listen to the podcast and jump over to the show and hit pause and catch up with us, because we know what we're talking about, but we want you to know what we're talking about too.
Thank you for joining us. Also in the show notes, we will have the ways to contact all of us, including our guest, Byron Lee, on Twitter and various other social media things. And thank you for joining us and sitting in the third chair, Byron.
I'm finally going to be popular.
You're one of the cool kids now.
You came to the wrong show for that. We should have had you on Serotalk, our Serospectives. Wait a minute, what are you talking about?
I was a geek before being a geek was cool. So, you know, I kind of fit right into that, yeah.
So remember, you can check all that out over at www.eolshow.com. And, you know, we want to leave you with kind of a callback to something we talked about in August. We got a lot of people talking about songs that they misheard, songs they didn't understand. And I'll be darned if the other night I saw a commercial for Volkswagen where they were doing Mondegreens. And it was a bunch of people with their take on what the lyrics were in Rocket Man. And it's really funny. We'll drop it in right here. And then, you know, I just because we've talked about Family Guy and we've talked about Friday Night and we've talked about Fox, I think we should let Stewie take us out at the end of this episode.
Thanks for joining us. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye, 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 goodbye.
I'm burning out this useless telephone.
My hair is gone.
All alone.
Burning up the room with cheap cologne.
The musty motorhome.
I'm the Rocket Man.
Rocket Man. Burning out his fuse up here alone.
Burning out his fuse up here alone.
I told you it wasn't provolone.
Crystal clear Fender Premium Audio, one of many premium features available on the all-new Volkswagen Passat.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour. 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high. As a kite by then. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh no, no, no! I'm a rocket man! Rocket man! Burning out his fuse out here, alone. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning out his fuse out here, alone. Oh yeah, that's the good stuff.
I tentatively titled this segment Under the Covers, as in covers of books.
Or Between the Covers.
Or Between the Covers?
Or something.
Well, let's do the...
That's what you had in the show notes. I don't know.
I know. I screwed it up.
Don't ask me. I just work here.
And